It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, Naked Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the porn, fabulous porn studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Yeah, it's 89 degrees here in the studio, so we're having a prayer meeting Wednesday in the sauna. Yeah, it's hot. I mean, hot in here. And so I'm doing as best I can. And the air conditioner is doing as best it can, running hell-bent for leather. And so we'll see how things go. It's been a wonderful day. Beautiful blue skies here in Appalachistan. And magnificent, just beating down heat. The sun is the hammer. And, well, this part of the country is the anvil for right now. It's about 2 degrees cooler in here than it is outside right now. And that's saying something. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so with that, we send out thanks to our 15th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. That's thanks to Robert and Darlene in Connecticut. If you'd like to be a subscriber, this would be a great day to become one. Just click the little box at headon.live on the main page there that says make this a recurring donation. Or use Patreon, for that matter. Patreon, you have to click the contribute tab, though, to click through to that. And so thanks very kindly also to Henry. Thank you, Henry, for getting us started this evening. That means that we've only got $150 to raise to stay even with midweek. That's huge. 10 at $15 or 15 people at $10. Gosh, wouldn't it be awesome to have 15 new subscribers today? If you'd like to become one of the roughly 1 in 100 people who listen to the program and actually support it financially, you're welcome to join in. Thank you very, very kindly if you do. And thanks to all of you who do keep the program on the air for everybody else. Thank you so much. And so, like I said, here we are, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. The Cathedral of Common Sense is still in lockdown because, unlike other churches, this fake church is not going to have people's well-being or people getting sick from the Rona on our hands. Little old blue-haired ladies are still working socially distant in the fellowship hall kitchen. Though, and well, you may have seen what they concocted earlier today. I posted a picture on my social media of big old portobello mushroom caps stuffed with scrambled eggs and smoked salmon, cream cheese, and dill, and it certainly met the got the Agnes seal of approval. She said it was some of the yummiest that she's. Yummiest anything she's had in a long time. So that was a win. And it'll be delivered out to the to various members of the community and the congregation in, of course, sustainable, biodegradable to-go containers. And me, well, I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah, Great Guru, Bob Kincaid, and this is, in fact, Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. The Minister of Music, of course, still has the week off. I'm worried that the deacons will have become so sedentary that when we return to regular order and regular services, that they'll be practically immobile. And the little old blue-haired ladies, make sure that they do get fed, because they don't want to see the deacons withering away to skin and bones. And so the carrot cake that they did with the cream cheese icing, it never stood a chance. It never even made it into the to-go boxes. The brother deacons heard about it, and the sister deacons, and they showed up at the fellowship hall kitchen door. And the cake that's one cake that won't be left out in the rain. Regardless of whether anybody ever has that recipe again. So, where to begin? Well, being Prayer Meeting Wednesday, we'd probably better start with some religion industry monstrosities. I think I got a couple here. Oh, yeah. How about Pastor Robert Henderson? You know, Agnes and I have watched the first four episodes of Bob, stop making allusions to 1970s pop songs. I'm pretty sure it's a 1960s pop song, Billable. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 1960s. Waylon Jennings recorded it. Richard Harris recorded it. And then, of course, in the disco 70s, Donna Summer recorded it. That may be what you're thinking of. But Agnes and I have watched the first four episodes on HBO of Perry Mason. And there is a plot element to that program, which still does not make much sense to me. It's a good show. Interesting. It's just not Perry Mason. But the plot turns in part on what for 1932 would be a mega church, and a charismatic evangelical female minister who is apparently loosely modeled on Amy Semple McPherson. And the plot found her promising that on the coming Easter, she would resurrect a little dead baby boy. That, of course, that's just a plot point in a fictional Los Angeles. But Pastor Robert Henderson, he's not fictional. It was 2019 when Pastor Robert Henderson said that Nitwit Nero's reelection was already secured in the courts of heaven. And he went on to try to shake down his faithful, because he needed money, and the money he needed was for the purpose of defeating Satan's one world system. And he's going to have a faith healing system service, faith healing service this coming Sunday. I'm sorry. This past Sunday in Waco, Texas. Well, it was Friday last when he claimed that he had the healing power of faith. Yes, indeed.
Listen, so many people need to be healed. And listen, we do have a tremendous history. I mean, I don't know why I keep thinking about this. I remember going to the hospital years ago because God told me to. There was a young man that was in the hospital who had broken his pelvic bone in a car accident. God told me to go. I did not know that they were going to fly him from Waco. They were going to fly him from here to Houston to put screws to pull the pelvic bone back together because it wasn't going to go back together by itself. So I went into the room, laid my hands on him. He began to vibrate. He was in traction. He began to vibrate, and it quite honestly concerned me because I thought.
Yeah, I bet it concerned the little boy, too, because he was afraid he was about to get raped. You know, when you let evangelical Christian ministers start putting their hands on young boys, well, as we shall see, things don't always work out for the best. More often than not, they work out for the worst.
Oh God, let this be you. Because he began to vibrate and shake. And when it was done, God had literally put his...
Jesus loves the little children. You're not Jesus. Get your hands off my kid.
Pelvic bone back together. That's what we later found out. The doctor came in later and said to the mom, okay, we're ready to fly him. The mom said, no, because of what had happened, we want another x-ray. She argued with the doctor. The doctor got mad, but he finally said, I'll give you an x-ray since you're paying for it. Whenever they x-rayed it, to his amazement, God had put the pelvic bone back together. See, these are very common things that happen. I want to encourage you. If you need a miracle on any level, do not miss this service.
Yeah. And yet, as is always the case, he can't point anyone to someone who's, say, last phalange of a pinky finger he prayed over and caused to grow back. Or he can't point to anybody who has any physical manifestations of anything visible that has been healed. No. Kind of hard to see him. Yeah. And it never dawns on him, of course, that maybe the first x-ray was wrong. But no, he did something to that boy that made him shake and vibrate in bed. And, well, yeah. Right. You would think that a guy like that wouldn't be standing there running a live stream sermon. He'd be walking up and down the halls of the hospital there in Waco, healing people of the Rona. But, well, no, he can't be bothered to do that. Gee, I wonder why. Well, it's true. Randy in PA says, aren't miracles by definition not everyday events? Well, according to him, you know, I guess they're every day for him. Now let's check in with a story out of the Memphis Commercial Appeal and a gospel shop down that way called the Bellevue Baptist Church. The Bellevue Baptist Church hired a fellow by the name of James Hook. No, he is not, to the best of my knowledge, a captain of anything, but his name is James Hook. He's 43 years old. And the Bellevue Baptist Church, which is one of the largest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention, hired him as a paid volunteer coordinator. And so last year, James Hook was found in the back seat of his car. No, not dead or anything. He was in the back seat of his car underneath a blankie. And there underneath the blankie in the back seat of the car with James Hook was a 15-year-old little girl. And he had given her a ring for her to wear on her finger. He was hailed before the courts. And he got 6 months in jail and 4.5 years of probation, which presumably he is serving now. Yeah. Remember, he was volunteer coordinator. The little 15-year-old girl was one of the volunteers. And now her parents are suing Bellevue Baptist Church. It remains to be seen if the courts of the state of Tennessee will respond, as did the courts of the state of Texas, the Supreme Court of the state of Texas a few years back, when a little girl who had been held down and assaulted in the course of an exorcism sued that church in Texas, won, and it went up on appeal, and the Supreme Court of Texas declared that her judgment would be vacated because it violated the First Amendment rights of that church in Texas to hold it financially accountable for assaulting a child. Like I said, it remains to be seen whether the state of Texas is whether the state of Tennessee will follow the rationale of the state of Texas. Ick. But the fact of the matter is, in the lawsuit papers, the little girl's parents are claiming that Bellevue Baptist Church, by virtue of the fact that they had no policies in place to protect children in that church from sexual predators like James Hook, that they made it possible for him to and deliberately put him in contact with minors. And, of course, what it boils down to is Hook had groomed the little girl because he knew the family well in advance of the church stuff. Because, see, James Hook and the little girl's mama had been having a fling. In the name of Jesus! Amen and amen. He'd be a larping and a smollicking on her and a rutting away, and she'd be hollering, "Oh God, oh God!"
Guess it's hog cutting, Tom.
And on top of it all,
why do I always walk back here when you're doing that? What is that? What's wrong with that?
Be healed!
I will smack the Jesus right out of you, boy.
Ain't none in me.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, but him and the little girl's mama had sexy time, and the little girl wound up having a little half sister. And so then this good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical Christian decided that mama wasn't enough, and he wanted to keep it all in the family. The church, meanwhile, Bellevue Baptist Church, instead of doing what Jesus commanded and repenting and seeking forgiveness, have instead gone into court and requested that the court dismiss the little girl's lawsuit. One hopes that motion will be denied. And perhaps in their hubris, the church will decide to take it to a jury. And one hopes that if that is the case, that the foreperson of that jury will take pen in hand and write down the number one and then start writing, making zeros until their hand cramps up. And they have to stop. the best thing of all would be that if the verdict came back in excess of the church's insurance policy limits. That would be extra double plus super good. Yeah. And then, well, because we're in the midst of a pandemic, I would be remiss if I left off of the off of today's list. Frank Sontag. He's a radio host. He's a Christian radio personality, and he wants the Christians that listen to him to know exactly where he says Jeebus stands on the issues of the day relating to COVID-19 and the wearing of masks.
Do. Now, do I think masks are important? Okay. We can take calls. 888-528-2557. I think it should be a personal choice. But you may harm somebody else. Really? Explain that one to me. Tell me the line of logic by which we now just as a matter of factly believe things as true because we're told it's the truth.
Now, there's no... But that's just a further indication that the goddess of irony is doubling down during this time of plague and pandemic. That's Christian asking, since when do we believe things are true just because we're told they're true? Now, he was told that Jesus emerged from the birth canal of a little teenage girl, probably younger than the one the Baptist volunteer coordinator raped, and that she did, and that he did so without the little teenage girl, Mary, ever having had sexy time. And he believes that because somebody told it to him. He believes the Bible is the inerrant word of God, which means that he believes, as the Old Testament claims, that the mathematical value of pi is 3. 3.00000. Forever. 3. He believes that the sun can stand still in the sky because the sun revolves around the earth and not vice versa. He believes that Jesus got killed and stuffed into a cave, and then his dead flesh was reanimated and he emerged forth on the third day. He also believes, because someone told him, that Jesus flew up into the clouds and then off to heaven. Now, these were people at the time, of course, who didn't know what was beyond the clouds. They didn't even know what clouds were made of. Didn't really understand why it rained. Baffled by wheelbarrows. Yeah. On the other hand, he doesn't know how it is that not wearing a mask could make someone else sick. Asymptomatic spread is too big a word and too complicated a concept for this good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual. But you may harm somebody else, he says sarcastically. Really? Explain that one to me. Well, dumbass, as anybody who's paying attention knows, you can eject viral particles through speech, through singing, through simply breathing, and those particles can be taken up into the body of someone nearby. Say, I don't know, the governor of Oklahoma, Stan. Because that happened. The governor of Oklahoma, Stan, is now the first governor in the nation to come down with a case of the Rona. Yeah. And he said he sure was surprised that he got it. Never mind the fact that he was posting pictures of him all LARPed up and smollocked around on his own, on his children in a crowded restaurant there somewhere in Oklahoma, Stan. Was he at Nitwit Nero's Corona Palooza? Don't know. And then there's the issue of his kids. It's funny how wealth privilege works. Because as Sister Carol Baker observed, and I can't wait till all this is over so she can get back out there and wave the cathedral's solar-powered cattle prod at the deacons and see them set to running. They'll need the exercise by then. But she said, you can bet that if that man had been a poor person, or particularly a poor person of color, Child Protective Services would have been on him like a duck on a June bug and taken those children out of his custody so as to protect them against catching the Rona from their scofflaw daddy. But wealth privilege is such that they won't touch him. And in the cruelest irony of all, those children will remain at risk because daddy's wealth holds public health officials at bay. How about that? Damnedest thing, isn't it? Back to Frank Sontag, who doesn't understand masks.
Or even social distancing. Or washing your hands 50 times a day. And again, I point this all back to the immune system. Our immune system thrives in environments by which aren't pristinely clean. We might as well just tell our immune system we don't need you anymore if we're going to try to live 24/7 in some sterile environment.
No, nobody's saying that. Mm-mm. Because that's one of the problems with a novel virus. Our immune systems have never had exposure to it before. And so consequently, it wreaks havoc in all kinds of bodily systems. COVID toe, loss of the sense of taste and smell, heart disease, lung disease, strokes. And the longer this goes on, the more it mutates and the more we find out it can do to us. You know that and I know that. But here's the problem. Our fetishized vision of the First Amendment allows this dangerous freak to spread this deadly idiocy wherever he wants. And there's no one there to contradict him and say, stop, fool. Your God doesn't want you to hurt people like you're trying to hurt them. Oh, no. Hell no. As Ron and Raleigh points out, deity, Star Trek reference, Mr. Spock to Scotty, deity had nothing to do with it. It was me crossing to Circuit B. Yeah. Thank you to Ralps for the, hi Lady Agnes, hug. Hugs back, Ralps. Don't let her kid you. Agnes loves to come back here and carry on that kind of banter from time to time. Yeah. And as Randy in PA points out, when the bridge falls down because he designed it by using pi equal to exactly 3, he'll just say, it was God's will. You see, that and God works in mysterious ways is the catch-all bucket of Christianity. And in many senses, all religions. If you can't understand it, blame it on the invisible friend. Billable Rick says, going back to the Baptist volunteer coordinator, I know who James Hook is. He's the front man of the 1970s act, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. When he was found in the back seat of a car with a 15-year-old girl, he was singing, When you're in love with a beautiful woman. Or was he singing, she was only 15, only 15, but I loved her so. She was too young to fall in love. Oh, that's just disgusting. So much of rock and roll is, when you get right down to it. Really creepy. Yeah. And yes, indeed, Agnes is stoked about the new fridge coming in. I can't tell you how stoked. She is absolutely thrilled. And we went shopping for it virtually using FaceTime until she found one that she liked.
Yay.
And thank you again for making that happen to our anonymous friend. Back to Frank Sontag, who has so much stuff that he doesn't understand. Our thriving immune system.
Or really quarantining healthy people. God help me, please. I don't want to go off on a rant. I don't want to be a vehicle by which it creates more fear. Quite the contrary. I think sometimes we need to be shaken out of a nightmare to say, wake up.
The only problem is the nightmare is what he's creating. He doesn't understand why healthy people would quarantine, you know, so they don't become unhealthy people. Yeah, but it all comes down to him having a big, big sad.
Masks, social distancing. You can't sing at church. You've got to be kidding me. You can't even sing at church wearing a mask.
Because singing ejects viral particles at shotgun blast speeds. But that's what it boils down to. He's all bummed out because he can't hear the caterwauling. I was watching, I think, the very first episode, maybe the second, of WKRP in Cincinnati. And Johnny Fever was doing a segue and said, and that was, and here now, the Hallelujah Tabernacle Choir singing, "You're Having My Baby." And with a choir singing that. And it was as awful as it sounds. It's the singing that he misses. The other day, I had that list of churches, a lot of them in Texas, that had received PPP money. You know, the don't bother to pay it back loans, forgivable as long as they're used to pay salaries. Well, the word is in. I mean, there were a lot of churches there that got somewhere either $1 to $2 million or $2 to $5 million. Eventually, the Trump maladministration got around to putting out a list of who got over $150,000 in funding. Well, the total of monies that were given to churches, because the First Amendment is nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry, $10 billion with a B, billion dollars. $10 billion. While God alone knows how many small businesses went begging or went under. Yeah. Nice, huh? Remember a couple of weeks ago when Mike Pencilneck Geek went down to Dallas and 200 members of an unmasked choir shotgun blasted him with viral particles? Well, that was the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. A vile cesspit of disease and degradation. And the multimillionaire who runs that hustle is an unabashedly political maggot by the name of Robert Jeffress. And in the course of his sermonizing, he got around to, of course, blaming who? Well, I'll just let him tell you.
What has changed? In these 150 years, has the Constitution changed and nobody told us? Is that what happened? Of course not. What has happened is we have allowed the secularists, the humanists, the atheists, the infidels to pervert our Constitution into something our founding fathers never intended. And it is time for Americans to stand up and say enough.
Takes a lot of nerve as a multimillionaire white guy to stand in the pulpit and say that secularists and infidels eliminated slavery, because of course that was something that was in the Constitution that the framers didn't particularly want to deal with at that point in time. Infidels did that. Or the entire amendment process. The First Amendment that allows him to abuse his religious privilege to become a multimillionaire. Well, that was a change to the Constitution. I guess that was infidels and secularists, too. Then again, Madison, I think Alexander Hamilton was a whiskey Episcopal. But Madison, Jefferson, Washington, Adams were all deists, which, of course, is not affiliated with any particular religion or the Columbia broadcast system. No. But this is, think about the thousands of people in that god-awful viral cesspit who believe every word that vomits forth from his toxic mouth, Robert Jeffress. I mean, that's a hell of a statement to make. I ought to save this clip and play it for Dr. Bill, except for the fact that I don't want to ruin his day. Dr. Bill would probably go into paroxysms of fury and might even eat dirt and run rabbits.
We're not going to allow this in our Christian country anymore.
Our Christian country, we're not going to allow this. And listen to them. Listen to them just clap and cheer, because they don't like how the Constitution got changed. And then he just lies. 7 years after the ratification of the First Amendment, this court says we have an established religion. It is the Christian religion. Now, what he's talking about is a decision from 1799 by the Supreme Court of the state of Maryland. And in that is the quote, "By our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion of the United States." They understood that, yes, this is a Christian nation, but no one denomination is to be elevated over another. Because look at the second phrase. Yes, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed upon the same equal footing and are equally entitled to protection in their religious liberty. there's a reason for that, of course. Maryland is Maryland for a reason. It was founded by devoted Roman Catholics to be a Roman Catholic state. And so in a Roman Catholic state, that court was declaring that they were no less Christian than your Baptists and your Whiskey Episcopals and your Presbyterians and your Lutherans and what have you. Had Methodism come along by then? I don't know. John Wesley? Not sure. But you see, these professional liars would rather hide the reality of American history from their followers than have them know it and actually study it, ponder it. And maybe even understand it, because, well, that is bad. That's bad for business. Oh, no, we had a John Hagee reference on the program last night. Starve! If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Starve! Well, he has apparently retired, and his son has stepped in to fill his spot as the senior pastor at some gospel shop in San Antonio called Cornerstone Church. And of course, Hagee owns a gajumpty jillion acre ranch somewhere outside of San Antonio, where he most definitely does not starve. So it's sermon time at Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, and Matthew Hagee picking up in the same vein of hatefulness where his daddy left off. Well, he wants to explain to his benighted faithful sitting in their platonic cave why it is that there are things like socialism and reproductive rights and rights for the LGBTQ community. You know what the explanation is. I know you know.
Abortion is not a political issue. Abortion is not a reproductive right. Abortion is a doctrine of demons. If Jesus Christ said, I give you life more abundantly, then something that takes the life of an unborn is a doctrine of demons.
Yeah, okay, asshole. Now do children in cages. Anything demonic about putting children in cages in concentration camps, Matthew Hagee? Anything demonic about young gay boys crucified on barbed wire fences, Matthew Hagee? Anything demonic about women dying horrible, agonizing deaths from DIY abortions that you would force them to, Matthew Hagee? Kind of makes you wonder who the real demon is, doesn't it?
Call it anything else is a lie.
Clap, you monkeys, clap! LARP and Smolik all over each other. Because this is an in-person service. No masks.
The agenda of the homosexual community that's being forced into our lives.
Really? Forced into your life? How is that, Matthew Hagee? Are Adam and Steve sleeping in the bed with you and Mrs. Hagee? Huh? Are you sitting there wishing you had yourself your very own pool boy, just like your buddy Jerry Falwell Jr.? Are you, Hagee? Forced into our lives. You reckon Mr. and Mrs. Hagee check, would they walk into a store, excuse me, in the name of Jesus, is this a homosexual establishment? Because we don't want you forced into our lives here at this homosexual hardware store. We don't want no homosexual hammers here. Yeah. Going back to the issue of Maryland and Brother Jeffress, Steve in New York says, subject line, Maryland. I was just going to say that. Don't tell Grifter Jeffress that the court was saying popery was on equal footing as protestingism. No, let's not do that. Might spoil their fun. Homosexuality forced into our lives.
Being forced into your homes through media. It's being forced into your curriculum through education. It's being forced into our churches through the court system. It is not a social justice issue. It is a doctrine of demons. When God said, I created them male and female and commanded them be fruitful and multiply. One is the truth, the other's a lie.
Which is kind of curious, being as how it's not even his God. But there is nothing Levantine about this dude. And he's taking biological advice, again, from people who didn't even understand why it rains and who would stare in slack-jawed amazement at a wheelbarrow. Yeah. Created he them, male and female, he created them. And that's the truth. And anybody who says anything different... That's a lie. It's a lie. Funny how he chooses that, but, well, has he got any more? And listen to all those bigots in San Antonio just a-clapping and a-hooting. You know, when they're clapping, they're fanning the air, and when they're hooting, they're spewing virus particles. Yeah.
Socialism is not some brand new revolutionary
socialism
economic system that sustains governments and people. Socialism is a lie. When you tell somebody you can have what you want, when you want, as much as you want, and it's all going to be free.
Which is, curiously enough, not what socialism says. On the other hand, in his holy book, there are passages where that old dude who had huffed a few too many leather tanning fumes as a tent maker, there are places where he says, we held all things in common. We held all things in common. Which, if you wanted to make an ism out of it, a doctrine or a philosophy, you might call it communism. Communism. Oh dear.
This is not an economic strategy. It is a doctrine of demons, and it needs to die.
See, here's the point. It is. Socialism is an economic theory. Just like capitalism is an economic theory or an economic model, an economic system. And so he's blatantly lying to the Emerys and Marvelines sitting out there clapping for all they're worth and paying for his $3,000 suits. Etc. His fine car, his fancy house. But if he can get him to believe, and there's that most dangerous word in the entire English language, believe. If he can get him to believe that socialism is demonic, then those fools in those pews will never, ever, ever question why it is that the vast majority of the wealth in this country is held by a tiny minority of people. There it is, serving as serving in his brother Usher duties, since he doesn't have anybody to lead down the aisle. Brother Usher Steve took to his Bible. Acts 2:44-45. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Gosh, that sounds like something else. You know, when you ask Christians in a survey and make it easy, you know, multiple choice, and you give them the phrase, from each according to his means to each according to his needs, Christians will tell you that comes from the Bible. It comes from the Communist Manifesto. But it also comes from Acts 2:44-45. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. From each according to their means to each according to their need. Who knew that there was a biblical basis for the Communist Manifesto? I'll be dipped. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the story of the rich man who asked Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, how he could get into heaven. And Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, responded by saying, what you need to do, rich man, is go and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor. And all that we find out after that is that the rich man went away and he was very sad. Because suddenly, entering the kingdom of heaven later didn't seem quite as important as living the good life right now. Also, Acts 4:32-35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they held was owned in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. I don't think that means it was distributed to each of the apostles. I think it means that it was distributed among the community to sustain the community of believers. Yeah. And I mentioned Homer sectionals a little bit ago, and Lee in New York responded, don't! Yes, of course. Christians will also say, Steve in New York points out, God helps those who help themselves is in the Bible. It's not. Not even remotely. So what you've got here, is a gospel sharp who's making sure that he doesn't smarten up the chumps. On and on and on. Well, let's leave the gospel business and check in with that winner of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, who sits behind the golden EIB butt plug, I mean microphone, and what he's telling his mouth walking, knuckle breathing followers. I mean, of course, Flush Flimball, the oxymoron. He's getting his talking points straight from the White House, of course. And the current talking point on the Rona, the Trump pandemic, is that we have to, and these are their words, not mine, learn to live with it. Learn to live with it. Of course, the problem for a lot of people is that they can't learn to live with it, and they just die with it. And there's not a hell of a lot of learning goes on when you're dead. And so reaching for an analogy with which to explain to his ditto monkeys why they have to learn to live with the coronavirus, COVID-19, well, he found a doozy. And that's why, of course, he's a Medal of Freedom winner.
This isn't who we are, folks. This cowering and fearful and almost giving up in the face of this enemy, COVID-19. We've not ever done anything like this before. So much of the way we are dealing with this.
And, of course, he's broadcasting from a studio that he's the only one in it.
Is unprecedented, and it's un-American. It's nothing compared to the way we have overcome enemies and obstacles in our past.
Wait. Trying not to have our country overwhelmed by a deadly virus is un-American? Well, if you say so, Rush, you're the Medal of Freedom guy.
It's fearful. It is turning people into victims, which is making them feel like they have no blame, that they can stop living, they can stop having to accomplish or even try hard things because there's this deadly thing out there that might... This is not who we are.
Yeah, but see, in 2020, that is who we are, because there is this deadly thing out there. And nobody's asking anybody to do a hard thing. If you think that putting on a mask and wearing some disposable nitrile gloves and using hand sanitizer and washing your hands is hard, well, you probably have real problems even with, like, the Velcro straps on your shoes. The autonomic nervous system is apparently difficult. Do they think, Ron and Raleigh asks, do these pillocks think that when Yeshua strode the earth that capitalism even existed? Didn't he say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and render unto God that which is God's? He did say that, in point of fact. And no, there was no capitalism. It was all just a zero-sum game of every man for himself. Oh, and going back to the Bible, Lee in New York City recommending to us Matthew 14, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot up from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. You know, because women and children, well, besides them. Yes, 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 the love that passeth all understanding, the most misogynistic religions on earth, arose in the Levant. Besides the women and children. You'd think they could have at least given them the scraps of bread that the disciples had to pick up. There would have been less cleaning up to do, wouldn't there? Yeah, And he didn't charge him. Didn't pass a plate. Who will? That's what makes it miraculous, I guess. We can't forget this, Stephen, New York says. Communion, communism. I know. And Steve asks, in regard to Flush Flemball, where does dodging military service for having a case of hemorrhoids sit on the bravery spectrum? Now, we can't be spreading misinformation. He did not have hemorrhoids. That is not how he managed to dodge the draft, Steve. He had, and it's a very serious medical condition, and it will be sufficient, since we've reached the top of the hour, to ruin dinner both in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone and the Central Daylight Time Zone and Billable Rick's late lunch in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. Flush Flemball dodged the draft because of what is called a pallidal cyst. And that is a cyst that forms in the anal area and is comprised of pus and hair. And that's what kept him out of Vietnam. The doc could have just leaned down there and said, you know, bite down on something, Rush, and popped the little bastard and sent him off to Vietnam. Oh, and my God, if he had, what a better country this may have been all along. Somewhere out there, there's an alternate universe where Rush Limbaugh, Donald Trump, and George W. Bush all go to Vietnam and don't come home. Or they do come home, they just come home in a box. And that America is a better America than we can probably at this point even imagine. But it's worth at least imagining to know that that universe is probably out there. Yeah, it's un-American to try not to get or spread COVID-19. That from Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient Flush Flemball.
And I'll tell you, I really believe, you know, we talk about the election most important in our lifetimes. I'm tired of hearing that because I've heard it for every election my whole life, for at least the last 30 years.
Yeah, because everyone has been. And it goes, and the pressure builds with every election. 2000, the year 2000, was the most important presidential election of our lifetime. The people got it right. The Supreme Court fucked it up. All by virtue of a mechanism, an anachronistic mechanism left over from the time when owning other human beings was legal. That was the most important election of our time. And what a horrible price. What a horrible price. 1 million innocent, non-combatant Iraqi men, women, and children paid for that mistake. What a horrible price that 5,000 members of our military paid for that mistake by the Supreme Court of the United States. Thanks for nothing, Sandra Day O'Connor. All you had to do was put your republicanism aside. But you couldn't even do that. And 2000 was indeed the most important election of our lifetime. But because that got fucked up, 2004 became the most important election of our lifetime. And that election was stolen in Ohio. So that the loyal Bushies could go on and corkscrew the economy into the earth. And so 2008 and 2012 became the most important presidential elections in our lifetime. And for 8 brief years, we managed to return something resembling sanity to governance. Oh, I know, I know, I know. Barack Obama was severely lacking in ideological purity. I know. My God, the man had probably never even smelled patchouli in his life. But we started, imperfectly, to right the wrongs of the previous presidency. But because we've got because a bunch of petty and petulant Republicans insisted on taking the Democratic vote away from the presidency by declaring that no president could serve more than two terms, we had to bid adieu to the president who was setting things to right, and instead put the nation's well-being, the nation's future, at hazard once more. And out of that, we got a draft-dodging grifter from the shallow end of the gene pool who has spent the last 3 years disassembling what good the previous president was able to do. And now, through his ignorance, through his malevolence, through his narcissism, through his deep and abiding intellectual disability, through his avarice, through his greed, has presided over the deaths of more than 136,000 Americans. More deaths than we have had in every war combined since the end of World War II. And so now 2020 is, once again, the most important election of our lifetime, because that's how it works in a republic based upon aspirational principles of democracy. Bolton, 2000, David in South Carolina, Stan says, remember Bolton leading the revolt against a Florida recount? Just a regular guy out protesting? Yeah, the Brooks Brothers riot. Randy in PA says, it wasn't that. It was that President Obama allowed his entire cabinet to be appointed by some bankster. Jesus, Barack! Yeah, I remember those simpler days where we wanted a cabinet secretary, and the only job that the cabinet secretary would be the secretary of Jesus, Barack! You can do better! But good God almighty, how much difference there is between better and best, or more importantly, better and worse. Well, there we go. A big thank you coming in from Brother Deacon Asa regarding pus-filled cyst. Thanks a lot, Kincaid. You fucked the early bird dinner hour on the left coast again. And I want to tell you, Brother Deacon Asa has been making some homemade pizzas. Got himself the real deal Neapolitan flour, worked up his pizza dough, and he has been making some magnificent creations. And it looks like, well, you know, just put it in a box and ship it this way if you're not feeling up to eating it now. Because if that didn't do it, I'm about to do it for you. Because, well, Flush is about to do it for us, because he has a comparison to make. Remember, wearing a mask is un-American, according to Flush Flemball.
Think true or not, this one really is crucial because of what the stakes are. This is not just where the Republicans and Democrats are going to trade power again, or maybe the Republicans are going to hold on to it. This is about what this country is going to be. COVID-19 is too convenient an excuse.
Oh, it's not a pandemic. This toxic multimillionaire, by this time he may be a billionaire, this toxic fuck says that it's just a convenient excuse. I wonder how convenient 136,000 dead Americans thought it was, Rush. And remember, this is the mouthpiece for the political party that claims to have the moral high ground.
For a generation of people to just punt, we don't do this. We are Americans. In the Spanish flu, 1918, 1919, 1718.
Does he even know when it was? Wonder if he knows that it killed Nitwit Nero's grandpappy.
Much death. Do you know that there was not one mention of it by the president of the United States at the time, Woodrow Wilson? Never talked about it. There was no...
Yeah, because it was held back in abeyance as it began to burn through troops on the Allied side of World War I. And they didn't want it getting out because it might have emboldened the other side. Because they didn't really know whether or not the other side, the Kaiser's German army, was, and the Austro-Hungarians were burning up with it too. So no, he didn't mention it. But he also didn't have to. Because the whole country damn well knew about it. Unpatriotic masks. Stephen, New York says, notable un-American wimps. Batman and Robin, Captain America, the Lone Ranger, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, and Green Lantern. Yeah. Masks.
Obama's failings. Lee in New York says, how about a constitutional scholar and gifted speaker unable to encourage support for SCOTUS nominee Merrick Garland?
There's that. Jeremy says, evidently based on Mary Trump's book, which I started reading last night, he never got over the time when he was 7 and Marty's father, Fred Jr., dumped a bowl of mashed potatoes on his head. Mary's father. Sorry. And Mary's father, Fred Jr., dumped a bowl of mashed potatoes on his head to the point that he was visibly disturbed the last time the family was together right after he was elected. Someone brought it up, and he still was bothered by it some 65 years later. Well, he is a jiggling adipose wad of petty insecurities, fears, and jealousies. I'd like to have heard that. Ron and Raleigh reminds us, Al Franken, back when he was on Air America, did a sketch where that was based on a scenario of Rush, Bill O'Reilly, and other draft-dodging scum in a rifle company in Vietnam. It was a hoot. I'll bet it was. Yeah. So, according to Rush, you're a chicken shit. An un-American chicken shit if you wear a mask. I wonder if he'd feel the same way if someone just randomly came up and, without a mask on, started screaming in his face. Oh, hell, let's not be so hostile. Let's have him sing in his face. He'd run farther and faster away from them than he did from serving his country in Vietnam.
National policy to deal with it. There was no shutdown. There was just, hey, go outside, get some fresh air, stand in the sun as long as you can, get some vitamin D, feel better.
Yeah, that's because it was 1918, 1919, Rush. And, well, virus theory wasn't very well advanced. I mean, why not cite the mid-14th century and say that, people were walking around, they didn't say anything about it. They just told people to go out in the sun and sniff a bouquet of posies. the shit that right-wingers will fall for.
It had numerous waves to it. It coincided with World War I, which is what Woodrow Wilson's concern was.
Oh, he got around to it.
Soldiers going off to war arguably spread one of the waves.
Yeah, from a pig farmer in Kansas. Hence, the flu pandemic of 1918 should be referred to as the dirty white American farmer flu.
But there was no woe is us. It was just the next in a long line of things that happened to people.
Yeah, things just happen to people. Because that's just how, you know, there you are, living your life on planet Earth. And things just happen to people. Just happen. Yeah, they just happen.
That they dealt with. Like the Donner Party. You've heard of the Donner Party.
I mean, yeah, what? Things happened that they just dealt with, like the Donner Party. You heard that right. He's going to favorably compare the Donner Party as against our attempt to stop the spread of a deadly pandemic. And once more, I'll point out that this is what passes for, no, really, professional broadcasting in the commercial sphere. And of course, right after he gets done with his blither and blather about the Donner Party, and we'll go to an ad for General Steel Buildings, my friends, the best steel buildings in the world. Put a wood floor in your General Steel building from a denuded Southeast Asian island. That's what you want. Lumber Liquidators Floors and General Steel Buildings. You can listen to your Bose Wave radio.
Maybe some of you haven't. The Donner Party, the Donner family, and a bunch of travelers trying to get to California over the Sierra Nevada mountain range. They made the mistake of trying to make the trip in the middle of winter.
No, not really. It's just that winter caught up with them, especially at those altitudes. I mean, there are mountains out that way, and Sparky could even verify it, that maybe even this time of year, when it's entirely too warm to fold space into the man cave, there's still a snow cap to be seen on the heights of the nearby mountain range. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa asking, Jesus, Rush, how's that stage 4 lung cancer coming along? How come it's taking so long? Well, even cancer doesn't want to live inside the body of an individual as hateful and noxious and vituperative and disgusting as Rush Limbaugh. Is he still keeping his is he still keeping his latest wife in a pit? I don't know.
We're talking the Lake Tahoe region. They get to the peak, it was so bad that they had to turn to cannibalism to survive. That's what's noteworthy about the Donner Party.
Is this really about to happen? I think it's really about to happen. I think he's about to say that the Donner Party adapted by engaging in cannibalism. So what? You need to eat your dead neighbor instead of wearing a mask? Wow.
If you read the diaries written by the leaders of the Donner Party, The only reference to how cold it was one sentence. It was a particularly tough winter.
Oh, those stoic donors. Of course, maybe the ones that they ate would have had more to say about it. Ron and Raleigh establishing a telekinetic link with Brother Deacon Asa says, how long does it take for stage 4 lung cancer to kill this toxic motherfucker? The reason it wasn't mentioned is the same reason it's called the Spanish flu. Spain was the only country that had an open press at the time. There's that. I mean, if you are at all fascinated or interested in constitutional law history, this is also the same time that Oliver Wendell Holmes and others on the Supreme Court are suppressing the speech of anyone who dares to speak out against the war. There's a triad of cases, Schenck, Froework, and Debs. And hell, Debs went to prison. And that was just fine with those wise, wise souls of the Supreme Court who fuck up a hell of a lot more than they get anything right. Oh, and by the way, as Sparky reminds me, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been released from the hospital. Apparently she was adequately treated for that infected stent in her common bile duct. And she's back home and resting, I guess, as comfortably as you can under those circumstances. Darlene in Connecticut says, well, he did let her out of the pit long enough for the State of the Union earlier this year, and she was looking pretty sallow, like she hadn't seen the light of day in at least a year. It puts the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again. Lotion brought to you by Limbaugh Industries, as is the hose. I can make your life a living hell. Yeah. Sallow. Well played, Darlene. Well played indeed. Why Rush did not serve, this from Lee in New York. Did you describe a medical condition that Rush had, or is the condition a description of Rush? Well, I think it eventually turned inward and took over his brain, or what passes for one. James in Illinois, Donner Party. Boy, oh boy, they'd have been looking Rush over and thinking about roasting his fat ass first. He's fat. He's annoying. Get him, boys. Yeah, take that thing out of his ear and he'll never hear you coming. Ooh, that was mean. Steve in New York says, what's next, Rush? Citing Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal as nonfiction? Sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Well, after all, the feminazis are all about abortion. Well, let's just eat them when they're a little bit older and they got a little more meat on their bones. It's un-American not to eat children.
It's just what was. They didn't complain about it because there was nothing they could do. They had to adapt. This is what's missing.
You know what? Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. I think that's how it goes. They didn't write anything about their unhappiness. In fact, if you'd just gotten done snacking on Granny, I'm pretty sure you'd not want to commit that to paper. You might be ashamed. You might be horrified. You might wish you'd never been born. But he thinks that because he hasn't read anything about it, it therefore did not exist. That is some logic. That right-wing logic. They didn't complain about it. They just did what they had to do. Well, then, Rush, why don't you fucking quit complaining about it and just put on your goddamn mask? because it's about the most patriotic thing anybody in this country could do right now. Oh, but not him. He's special. I wonder if anybody's explained to him, and I'm sure they have, that since he's undergoing all that chemo, which he said, I'm not going to talk about my cancer. I said I wouldn't turn this into the cancer show. But boy, oh boy, this latest round of chemo sure kicked my ass. And thereby reminding everybody that he's getting the best health care available while people die from cancer all over the country because they have no access to health care. Yeah. Boy, that's some merkin, that Medal of Freedom winner.
There seems to be no concept of adaptation. There seems to be no understanding in the millennial generation that we can adapt to this and that we're going to have to.
How do you adapt to it? I mean, wearing a mask and washing hands and avoiding direct physical contact and engaging in social distancing, those are all adaptations. They're just not the adaptations that he, Flush Flemball, operating with half his brain tied behind his back and with talent on loan from God, margin call! Wants. But all of this is pure propaganda designed to get the mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers to divert their attention away from the monstrous, hideously inept response to this pandemic that has been promoted and promulgated by Nitwit Nero and his sleazy, skeevy, creepy minions. We got to adapt!
Because there's nothing stopping it right now. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have therapeutics. We can't shut down bars and restaurants every 2 months for a couple of weeks.
That's precisely the point. If we had shut them down and stayed shut down, and if the government had provided sufficient funds to make sure they'd be able to reopen when it got when things got better, we wouldn't be where we are. Instead, we shut down for a couple of weeks, to use his phrase, and all the precious little snowflake Republicans started pissing and moaning because they couldn't get no haircut. And the Republican women's couldn't go out and get their nails did. And the Republican gym rats couldn't go out and sweat and smolik and larp and gravelate all over each other in the gyms. And so now we have a massive pandemic burning up the country. Billable Rick says, Donner Party? Wow. So Rush is talking about the Donner Party. How's this an issue in the 2020 election? That occurred about 170 years ago. Bob, if Rush and Senator Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, somehow found themselves among the Donner Party, which one would have been eaten first? Upon seeing Rush, the Donners would have probably acted festively and stuck an apple in Rush's mouth, given the large mass of flesh he would have provided them. Well, he's kind of skinnying up. I think the chemo is taking a bit of a toll. Lee in New York says, is Rush really saying that cannibalism is his acceptable economic model? Oh, well, when times get tough, people get eaten. It's a Rush-eat-you kind of world. Well, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy says, Bob, you do the Rush voice so well that when I hear L. Rushbo speak, I always think, who's that?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. And as to the mashed potato incident when Nitwit Nero was 7, Lee says, Mary Trump's father dumped a bowl of mashed potatoes on Donald's head. Sad. What a waste of mashed potatoes. I know. That was my first thought. I like mashed potatoes. But then again, maybe Mary, Mammy Trump made them and put, like, you know, her being Scottish and all, maybe she put some chunks of sheep lung in it or something. Oh, well, if
If we haven't done a number on dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone yet, sheep lung mashed potatoes probably went a long way toward it. Bill in PA, in agreement with Jeremy, says, your impression of Flimball is scary.
I can't help it, my friends.
You know who I never do that around? Agnes. That is something up with which she will not put. So where were we? Donner Party. Donner Party, table of four.
For the next 3 years, we can't do this cycle that we're doing. This cycle that we're doing is not stopping anything. It's not saving anybody. It's not-
actually, dumbass, it is. If you look at New Jersey, Vermont, and New Hampshire, the effectiveness of mask mandates, social distancing, has them at the point where they're in position to get it under control. New York is moving in that direction. It's just that the Confederate states, which you love, well, they're more like-minded with you, and so consequently more people are dying. Because remember, he broadcasts from the Southern Command, my friends, here in Palm Beach, Florida. That's where the mansion is, and that's where the pit is that he keeps his wife in. Robert in Australia, dinner party, Donner Party. We'll have the captain with a salad. Have we started again? One of those great Python sketches. Yes, it is. Stay safe, Robert. Stay safe, my friend. Because shit's blowing up in New South Wales again.
It's not preventing the spread. It's just a knee-jerk reaction to a bunch of shock, scary numbers in the media.
You know, more than 136,000 dead Americans would be scary whether it was in the media or not. That's part of his shtick. Don't blame the ineffectual response. Don't blame the time spent dithering around and declaring, there's like 15 cases, and soon it'll be 5, and then it'll be 0, and in the spring, it'll miraculously just disappear. Yeah, don't look at that, America. Listen to this medical expert. Yeah, right.
Life has to go on.
You know, unless it doesn't. Unless they jam a garden hose down your throat and put you in a chemically induced coma where you can't see, you can't speak, you can't move. The machine is doing your breathing for you, and all you can do is hear for weeks, maybe. The ceaseless, endless noises made by medical machines. I forget who the... Scott last night mentioned Harlan Ellison. And it got me thinking about that nightmare world of being on a ventilator. And it's true. No sight, no sensory, no touch, no speech, no movement, nothing but the ability to hear. And in 1967, Harlan Ellison wrote one of the most, as I read it as a teenager, one of the most horrifying, you know, not quite H.P. Lovecraft, but horrifying just the same, short stories I had read at the time. And it came with one of the most terrifying of titles. And the title of that 1967 Harlan Ellison short story was I have no mouth, and I must scream. Think about that. Well, that is life on a ventilator. It's worth the read. And of course, its predicate is a vicious war between the United States, the Soviet Union, and how about that? China. OMG, says Jeremy in Vermont. Bob, you can be Rush 2.0 when he kicks his ventilator as his lungs fail from cancer, and just think, you could do everything exactly the opposite way he would and probably give a few million of his brain-dead followers heart attacks. Wait, maybe not. They're mindless drones. Well, that's true, too. Back to the Donner Party. Jimmy doing his bit to work on dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone. Blood marrow gazpacho was the appetizer. Nasty. Yeah. And one of those folks who thinks the world of Flush Flimball is Thomas Sowell, S-O-W-E-L-L. Ron and Raleigh just sent me a YouTube link of some 2 hours and 19 minutes length. I don't think my brain cells could stand it. But as Ron and Raleigh says, check out the titles on this link. We will never progress to the Star Trek future as long as people like this exist. Thomas Sowell, Black Rednecks, and White Liberals. And this in particular is Chapter 3, The Real History of Slavery. Oh dear. Why We Can't Have Nice Things, Part the Infinity. Imagine, if you will, Ron and Raleigh says, imagine, if you will, these people being around during the polio epidemic. How many people like Moscow Mitch wouldn't be around to plague us? I ain't taking no vaccine. Let's see here. Lee in New York. Donner Party, table for four. When you said that, I thought, self-serve. Which, as opposed to this clip from Flush Flimball, is a cell phone. Not cell phone.
Life is to be lived. It's not meant to be spent cowering and curled up in the corner in fear. It's not meant to be spent as a victim.
Who's cowering in fear? It is a fearful disease. But caution is not the same thing as fear. Caution is what one engages in to avoid fear. If you go into the store, you don't wear your mask. Nobody else is wearing a mask. You come back and you fear. I wonder if I've got it now. If you take as many precautions as you can, and you remain socially distant, you have at least a hope of not contracting it, not being infected. And thus, you are put somewhat more at ease, and the fear is in abeyance.
Your life is worth more than simply saying, there's nothing I can do about it. I have an excuse for not even trying. But this is exactly where we are. and it's not who we are. And I believe this should become one of the themes that the president adopts as he adapts to what's necessary going forward in his presidential campaign. A national address to the, heck, I'll do it. A national address to the country.
Yeah, because that would help. A national address to the country by Rush Limbaugh, draft dodger, in which he encourages us to emulate cannibal pioneers to beat the coronavirus. I don't think if I got a 70 liter Nebuchadnezzar of rot gut tequila, I could get through that with a swirly straw the size of a garden hose. No.
Telling the people this country the truth of this, who we are, how we got here, not here with the virus, here as a superpower. We need to contradict all of this tripe and meaningless BS.
You know, wearing masks, washing hands, wearing gloves, engaging in social distancing, all this tripe. We need to get out and LARP. My friends, we need to get out and LARP and smollock and grabulate all over each other just to show Donald Trump how brave we are. Fuck you, Rush. And that's all of that. I can't stands no more. That's all I can stand. I can't stands no more. By the way, having a rousing time in the chat room this evening. Drop on by if you'd like. You will be eagerly and joyfully greeted by the likes of Anatole and House of Roberts, by Jimmy and Otto DeShot, by Roger in Oregon, by Squeaky, by Stockton Larry, by Timo, and by Will in Chicago. Good conversation going on there. And here, as we near the end of the second hour of the program, let's check in. Henry got us started on fundraising this evening. And just a second here. And Jeremy jumped in. So we've got $145 to go to finish off with fundraising on this prayer meeting Wednesday. And hopefully, maybe, we'll get that knocked out. But thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you, Henry. Oh, going back to James Hook, the guy who was the Baptist out volunteer coordinator who had sex with the 15-year-old daughter of the woman that he had sex with and made a baby with. Jeremy, too good to just pass this up. Well, it was a little girl. That's perfectly normal. I was personally worried for his soul that it would have been a little boy he was found in the car with. Yes, James Hook with a little boy named, wait for it, Peter Pan. Lee says, Rush, living fearlessly, curious, did he go to Trump's Tulsa rally? Oh, hell no! My friends, I would never rub elbows or smollock or LARP around with the Trump, with the maggot hoi polloi. Those people are barely walking upright. I only hobnob with the best right-wing Republican garbage. Fear? Asks Ron and Raleigh. Is old Rush taking radiation and chemo for his cancer? What's that bastard scared of? Dying? Just let Jeebus heal him. Well, that's for the hoi polloi. Not good Republicans like me. Expanding on what I said about Harlan Ellison's short story, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. He took inspiration for the story from his friend William Rotzler's caption of a cartoon of a rag doll with no mouth. Flavio adds, because that's what you are on a ventilator. Yep, Flavio, indeed. And standing in for 2 in 200, Jeremy just jumped in to take us down to 140. So if you'd like to be a member of the happy little bunch that keeps us on the air, new subscriptions are welcome. New a la carte contributions are too. 140 to go. It's a hell of a long way from $55 million a year to encourage America to emulate cannibal pioneers. That's just something. I don't know what, but that is just something. Let's go over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Russ. Is Snurdly there?
My friends, Bo Snurdly has not worked here in a very long time. I fired him for insubordination. He told me that I was not. He once said that I was not operating with talent on loan from God.
Egad. He insulted you in that way?
I was shocked, I must tell you, my friend.
See, Rush, that's what you get for engaging in affirmative action. You never should have hired that Negro in the first place.
Well, I was trying not to mention that fact, but as he left, I said, you can come back someday when you get that bone out of your nose. And have you ever noticed that all of the wanted posters of Negro men in the post office look like Jesse Jackson?
Well, they're all related, aren't they?
God almighty.
I think Bo Snurdly went off to work on his liquor store robbing skills.
Oh, God.
Because, you see, these are all things that he has said on the air, and they give him $55 million a year to say it.
You know, I'm so glad that you're really, like, on his case today. Because, you know, like a lot of us, you know, we tune that in sometimes, you know, lunchtime or whatever, just to see what those folks are talking about. But he and Hannity are just so out there, it's really difficult to get, for me, to get more than, like, maybe 12 minutes.
And yet Tucker Carlson's lapped him.
But, okay, but, you know, it's... That is one of the president's closest buddies, because he has no friends. You know, those are some of his advisors, I think. You know, that's what people say.
Well, you just got a note from Jeremy. Todd, stop telling Rush who and who not to hire. I mean, he had talent on loan from God.
Oh, my God. See, Bob, you know what? I hate to be old bogey, man. I really didn't think I'd be like this. I didn't know I'd be crotchety. But, you know, I'm of the age, I remember in the 80s when, like a lunchtime steakhouse, they would have a Rush room. And all the roads.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Laid in there. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, can you imagine trying to gag down your lunch while listening to that?
Well, that's why those fuckers get heart attacks at 48. I don't know what happened. You know, shit. What the fuck do you think happened? They're just full of toxicity. Ugh. What a mess. So, you know, man, I've been listening. You've just been on a tear this past couple weeks, man. You've just been tearing shit up. And congratulations on your new asset.
Oh, thank you. I'm not being at all hyperbolic when I say we are excited.
And look, you know, I'm not going to get into the details, but look, I remember washing my clothes in the bathtub. you know, just because I didn't like the washing machines in the building and you know, money, all, you know, whatever. It's just the hauling ice. You know, after a while, it gets old. And it's hot as hell out. It's so fucking hot. I don't know about where you are, but it's hot.
Oh, it's probably, I know it's hotter there than it is here, but I revel in it. I do, Todd. I can't help it. I adore it.
Well, good.
I love it. You know, I don't know if you saw the food porn pictures today, but I mean, I was out there at high noon on the griddle. I mean, I wasn't on the griddle. I was working on the griddle. No, that doesn't work either.
No.
I was working with the griddle there, and people think German prepositions are difficult. I took some of the smoked salmon. And flaked it up, and scrambled a dozen eggs, and took portobello mushroom caps, the big ones.
Damn.
And sautéed them in butter, and then I stuffed the portobello mushroom caps with the scrambled egg, cream cheese, dill, and salmon mixture.
Shit. Oh. You mean the big, like, they're like 4 inches across.
Yeah, though, the big son of a guns. The ones that are the size of a hamburger bun top.
Shit. You know what that costs when you go out, something like that? You're talking $20 for an appetizer.
Oh, I imagine, you know, done up all fancy in a New York restaurant, yeah. But this is just simple hillbilly elitist food.
Mm, that sounds delicious.
But it was delicious. And tomorrow is going to be those stuffed Cubanelles I've been talking about for so long, because I discovered that I have a round of Mexican queso fresco. I'll crumble that up and mix it with a bunch of minced brisket, smoky and wonderful, and stuff those Cubanelles with it. Cover it in panko breadcrumbs and put it on the and put it over the. The hickory smoke fire.
You know, if I had to set up like you have, I would like to experiment with a nice fresh one of those you know, cage free chickens and spatchcock it, and then get it started on the smoky grill, and then, you know, cook it flat on the flat grill to finish it off.
That sounds fantastic. I've got to devote some time to learning to spatchcock.
You can do that in your sleep. Come on, you can do that in your sleep. Honestly, and if you think about it, there's some Greek restaurants that have served us that we just didn't know what it was. You know, like you get the half a chicken with the orange, you know, orange sauce.
Yeah.
That spatchcock, all it means is you cut the backbone out, and you might want to save that for soup. You know, if you're really that type of person, you save it for soup, which I do. Sometimes it has little bones in it, but still you get the meat off of it. But that, you know, it really, it cooks faster. The blood comes, you know, you can season it up the way you want. You can dry rub it. It's just, or you can do the wet marinade. Like mojo wouldn't be terrible with a nice citrusy.
Well,
mojo.
See, I was going to mention, you know, it's not all successes here. Yesterday I had marinated some, chicken breast strips, chicken tenders, in the mojo criollo, and I threw them on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bread them or anything because I wasn't deep frying. I was just grilling them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly where it all went wrong, because, you know, they didn't burn up or anything, but dadgummit, Todd, they were drier than a snake's belly in a wagon rut.
You know, let me say this. I have a friend who's really, you know, we get together every year and grill out, and he's, you know, I learned of the mojo through him, the citrusy mojo. And he likes to, he uses that in that, it's like a Jewish, it's like teriyaki, but it's Jewish.
Oh, what is it? Soy ve.
Right.
That's good stuff. Right.
That's good stuff. So it'll be one of those two. But what I've noticed sometimes, I don't know what it is, but if it's not, I don't, and like I said, I don't know what it is, but sometimes it'll dry the meat out or it'll be rubbery, maybe it's the temperature. But that's why I'm really leaning toward the rubs lately. The liquid marinades, I'm sticking toward the soy sauce-based, you know, something of that nature. Because you can't go wrong with teriyaki, you know, which is soy and cherry and ginger, you know, that type of thing. But the dried mojo, it just does, just like that complete saison, it just opens up. It just, I don't know, when it gets wet, it just opens up. And it's just no
problem. Yeah, but I ain't going to be buying any saison for a while, if ever.
Why not?
Oh, you don't know?
What happened?
The CEO of Goya appeared with Trump and did everything but stick his nose right up his orange asshole.
Oh, my God. Goya? What a fucking dumbass.
So now there's a full-on Goya boycott, and the maggots are all of a sudden all over social media. Oh, I'm going to eat me some of them Goyas.
Oh, man.
You know, the same way they did with Chick-fil-A.
But
liberals and progressives are smarter than the maggots are. And so when this thing broke, immediately they started saying, listen, we know you don't want to have anything to do. If you've got Goya products and you want to get rid of them, don't throw them away. Give them to the food bank. There's plenty of hungry people in this country. And so.
Beautiful.
Yeah. By the way, you got a note from Ron and Raleigh. Todd, stop telling us what to spatchcock.
You have to be careful with that. Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, I screwed up those chicken tenders. Agnes was, she was really charitable about it. She said, no, honey, they're delicious. And
well, they're, you know, they're delicate.
The doggy got chicken tenders today. And the thing is, I've got them in a zip. I've got them marinating still. I've still got, you know, a dozen and a half marinating in the Ziploc bag. I got to figure out what to do with them. I'm thinking maybe if I put them over, yeah. But I'm thinking maybe just lightly grill them and then simmer them in a pan. With some sort of pasta, you know, garlic butter sauce, whatever, keep them tender, and then serve it over linguine or fettuccine or something.
Oh yeah.
Oh wait, this just in from Darlene in Connecticut. Holy shit, Bob! I'm totally getting off on that scrambled egg, cream cheese, giant portobello mushroom cap thing. Can you repeat that recipe, please? You and Todd have the best food porn segments on the horn ever. It's our specialty, Darlene. It was real simple, and you can do this with smoked salmon from the store. Scrambled eggs, and you don't want to overcook them because, you know, they keep cooking them even when you pull them off. They carry over cooking.
Right.
And you cube up, depending on how many eggs you're doing, for like 8 eggs, about a half a block of cream cheese cut into cubes. And once the eggs have cooked down some, you sort of put the cream cheese underneath the hot eggs in the skillet or whatever and let the cream cheese melt. Blast it with dill weed. Fresh is always better than dried. A little salt, a little pepper. And then flake in your smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And toss that all together and then saute the portobello mushroom top. And, you know, take the stem out so you got some stuffing room. Saute that gently, plate it, and put a mound of the scrambled egg, cream cheese, salmon, dill stuffing on it. And if you want to, what really makes it special then is hit it with some panko breadcrumbs and run it under the broiler real quick.
Oh, shit. See, that's over the top.
A mixture of panko and grated parmesan. That works well.
That does. See, you know it too. I like to mix panko flour and the regular Italian because they have different consistencies and it tends to coat But back to the cream cheese and salmon. See, that's why one of the reasons bagels and lox are so good. But salmon and cream and smoked salmon and cream cheese, it's hard to make anything bad with that. It's like that's your base. And I hope
if you want to get ritzy, you can. Another thing you can do is you can take a handful of drained capers and toss them in that mix, and so you get these little salty explosions of flavor along the way.
See, that's when you go to the store and you get the magnums of wine, like red, white, so you're ready. Oh, God. That's living. Jeez. That is living. That sounds delicious. I was also thinking about, I just got this craving for the whole chicken lately, but stuffing your chicken with sausage and celery and some other vegetables.
I don't stuff. It's too easy to get people sick with doing that.
But you got to know what you're doing. You have to be experienced. And I don't blame you. You have to really. It's low and slow, and foil is involved so that the outside doesn't burn. I'm not saying that like you're not experienced.
I get that. And it's interesting you would mention a whole chicken, because that's exactly what I've been thinking lately. I've been doing, you know, ribs and pork loins and briskets and salmon. I haven't done a whole chicken all year. And I want to take it to the next level. I want to brine a really big whole chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then beer can cook it on the acorn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah.
You know what would be good? Don't hate me, but it just dawned on me. It's not much for drinking, but to get one of those Budweiser chiladas or one of the other brand chiladas, you know, the tomato juice and whatever beer.
Yeah.
And you'd have to use it because it comes in tall cans. You'd have to get a regular sized beer can and pour it in, but use the chilada for the beer in the beer can chicken. And let that stuff boil and steam, and send all those flavors up into the hollow of the bird. Woo!
Wait a minute, you might be on something. That's tomato, lime, some other seasonings already there, and you got the big ass can.
Yeah, but it's too big for a chicken. So you'd have to transfer it to a pop can or a beer can, a regular size beer can or something.
Now. I have to say, I'm getting to be a poultry snob, because there is a difference between, like, I don't even mess with Tyson anymore. I just can't. I can't do it. I get, usually it seems like around here it's from Springer. I don't want to say the name. But, the more natural chicken you get, you will taste the difference. It doesn't have those big, pumped-up bones. It has a sweeter flavor. You know, so folks who haven't tried the... You know, it costs a little bit more, but it definitely, the end product is worth it.
Yeah, the especially, you know, no hormones, free range, mm-hmm. what have you. Yeah. And Darlene's on the wavelength, Todd. Beer can chicken? Oh, just writing this as you said it. I love the horn synchronicities. It's a beautiful thing. So
we're all connected.
And there's so many, beer can chicken's fun because you can do anything you want to with the outside of the chicken. I've done, like a spicy chili, Asian style, spicy chili pepper, orange juice, pineapple glaze, paint it all over and just let it do its thing.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. Or, you know, even, and by the way, and New Yorkers know this, similar and yet different from the Mojo Criollo is mm-hmm. this stuff that it's a marinade that comes out of, I think, Binghamton, New York. A buddy of mine told me about it way, way, way back in college because he was from Bingo. And then Dr. John reinforced its magnificence by telling me about it again. And it's called Speedies. SPIEDIE'S. Speedies. And it comes in like a salad dressing bottle. And it's oil and some vinegar and a whole bunch of herbs and spices. And it's more... It's more Greek than it is, say, Caribbean or Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And it mm-hmm. you do You do cubes with that. Or marinate, you know, marinate those boneless, skinless chicken thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Darlene says, where do you come up with this stuff, Bob? Dang. I just sit around thinking about things that would taste good together.
Well, I'm still thinking about that pairing that you had in the stuffed pork loin between the pear and the Dubliner, because that, I just couldn't get over. That was started making funny noises, because that shit, damn.
Started making funny noises. Wait a minute.
Come on. That is the perfect pairing. And then with the pork and the sweet and the sour and the, damn. And then the shots of Nebuchadnezzar liquor afterward. That shit was too funny. Yeah, please give yourself a cab up for Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, come on.
That's no fair, because I stole that from my buddy Joy in Ann Arbor.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, I don't know. This is some great food for him, man. We need that. We really do.
And Darlene got a note. Wait, where'd it go? Oh, yeah. Darlene got a note from Jeremy. Darlene, stop telling us who has the best food porn spots. All food matters.
It's taking off.
Oh, Jeremy's on a roll this evening. Bob, stop telling us Jeremy's on a roll. Stop telling us who's on a roll.
Man, this is something. Well, I hope everybody's healthy and trying to stay healthy.
I know, and it's all you can do. So are they? I was talking last night about the upcoming college football season. They're all afire to play them some football down South Carolina way, aren't they?
Yes, and I heard what you said, and I liked most of the statements you made. Because you made it real. We're talking about young people who don't get paid. They're still dickering about whether folks should get a stipend. And yeah, I don't know if you remember. I remember some athletes in the dorms when I was in school, some of the poor ones, and they really had, like, absolutely no money. Like, they didn't have nothing. All they could do was play ball.
Yeah.
You understand me? Like, we go out on the weekends, and you're like, hey, man, we're going out. Like, I don't have any money. Well, I'll get you. Don't worry about it. And then they get tired of being on somebody's tab all the time. You know, it's just really, it's like, why can't you give them a stipend? They're getting pimped out. So now it's worse.
Yeah.
Because,
way back, West Virginia had an All-American offensive tackle. And when my fraternity would throw the occasional keg party, you know, and we're talking about...
Occasional, my ass.
We're talking about 50 kegs, and there wouldn't be one left. I mean, it's huge. I mean, the whole neighborhood would be in the house. And this guy would bring a few of the other football players, and he was more than happy, you know, all beer you can drink. And he could drink a lot of beer. That was a lot of football player. And sober the whole time. I mean, just, I don't know. It just, and as long as he had one of those solo cozy cups full of beer, and we'd get him a roll, a whole roll of Skull. Mm. And he was a good guy. And, but yeah, it broke, dead broke. And they're supposed to, and these guys are, the female athletes as well. You're supposed to go out there and risk your life, so that your university can make a fortune. Is that how that works?
Well, and then remember, when you're on the road, you got no money of your own. You know, the institution may give you some bucks for food. They may not. It's not a guarantee. It depends on where you are and what your contract looks like. And then, speaking of contract, as soon as you get hurt, you're done. So this is really sad. And I'm thinking about it because I have a very good friend here who's a professor. So what they're doing now is today was the deadline to turn in plans for what the semester is going to, you know, this coming semester is going to look like, because they have no clue. But you know, Evan, I'm trying to take my emotions out of this, and I want to bounce this off of you. But it seems to me, ever since this quote unquote opening up, whatever the hell that means, because I don't like that term, means, I mean, we know what it means, but it's you know, it doesn't tell the truth. It was like, okay, this is going to be an experiment. We're going to see what happens in Florida. We're going to see what happens in Wisconsin. We're going to see what happens in California. And then, you
know, the problem was, Todd, it was an experiment. And it was an experiment using human test subjects who were involuntarily drafted into it.
Well, that's my fucking point. Now, you know my background. That's what I'm saying. That is what you call unethical.
Well, yeah, it reminds me of what happened here in West Virginia in 2014. You know, when 300,000 people in 9 counties became unwitting conscripts into an experiment to find out the long-term consequences of exposure to methyl isocyanate. No, not methyl isocyanate. That's Bhopal.
Well, just say microparticulates.
Yeah, no, the poison that Freedom Industries dumped into the water supply.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. And so people are just, you know, that, and now we're finding out the results of what happened. You know, I guess how would you frame the experiment, Todd? What happens when you let a feckless right wing asshole control your state government during a pandemic?
Subjects were unwittingly exposed to environmental agents that most likely would have detrimental consequences. However, this experiment was conducted.
Yeah.
To reinforce, you know, that you have, that's where you have to write that kind
of thing. Right, exactly.
But that's not ethical. You cannot. And see, everything they're doing is, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to take my emotions out of it. And they keep fucking, if you notice, these fuckers are Nazis. What did Germany do? The first thing they did was denounce the press. Then they got rid of the intellectuals, who happened, a lot of them were Jewish. Then they started fucking with the data.
Oh, and speaking of fucking with the data, that's going on now. Because the White House has directed hospitals not to send COVID data to the CDC, but to send it to their double secret probation White House database instead.
I'm telling you, man.
If it won't disappear on its own, they're going to make it look like it disappeared. See, it disappeared. There are hospitals all over Florida at 100%. South Carolinians are among the most unlikely to wear a mask in the country. I don't know how you find the there was Flush talking about fear and everything. But you've got a reason to be afraid. You know, you and folks like David there in South Carolina, Stan, your neighbor. Y'all got reasons to be nervous.
Yes. You know, I put myself in danger every day. I mean, I love my job, but you know, it's very difficult. This is, I mean, the job is easy, but this navigating through this is very difficult. I had someone tell me today, not a coworker, but a peripheral type person who comes in on a regular basis. And one of them said, well, you know, I just don't know what to believe anymore. He said, and he's a nice guy. And I was like, well, I said, just follow the science. I said, just don't, you know, this is not about politics. I said, just follow the science. You know, what do you think? I said, we know this is airborne. You know, just, and I can see in his face and his speech pattern, he's very conflicted. You know, because he's Republican, he wants to support the president and all this nonsense, but that's okay. It's America. You can do that, but you better know what you're voting for. You better know what you're supporting. And then his boss was around, and then he brought up some things like, you know, I don't know about all these masks. And I'm like, okay. I said, really? I said, these people have gotten so, I don't want to say these people, some people have come so astray of what used to be just common sense. In 1918, they figured that shit out. You should wear a mask.
Well, yeah, and the thing that Flush neglected to mention is there were lockdowns all over this country. I remember when this lockdown first started, I read the story of a theater troupe that was stranded in Omaha. No money,
yeah. No
food, nowhere to live, and all they could do was odd job around town. But they were under quarantine.
Just to get money so they could get back home when the shit opened up, right?
Right. But they couldn't go anywhere because, you know, back then, no airlines. And the railroads weren't doing anything. Weren't any buses. The Overland Stagecoach had kind of petered out by then.
Right.
I mean, it was a hot mess. Oh, by the way, just got a note from Cynthia. Still suffering with that sciatica, Bob. Sorry to hear it, Cynthia. That's awful. Though I am a tiny, tiny bit better, it just takes a long time to heal, I guess, she says, but it sure makes it hard to sit at the computer, and so I haven't. Good call. But talking about food, Cynthia says, and I previewed this before, I'm reading it now, and this is something that's going to happen in my world. Cynthia says, but talking about food, I ate at a restaurant outside of Zion back in February and had the best mashed potatoes ever. You know, mashed potatoes were in the program earlier, and there's nothing more wonderful than mashed potatoes. They stuffed a great big chili. I'd be interested in knowing what kind of chili. They stuffed a great big chili with mashed potatoes and melted cheese over it. Oh my goodness, that chili added a flavor to the potatoes that was pure heaven. I never would have imagined a combination, but it was delicious beyond belief. Now back to my sciatica. Well, hopefully your sciatica will not be something to go back to soon. I hope you get to feeling better, Cynthia, but damn, I think you've probably inspired more than me. Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, she's right. Cynthia is right. There is really a good, well, potatoes, I mean, look, well, it depends on what you like, but yes, like Dauphine potatoes, the garlic mashed potatoes, like mashed potatoes from scratch. That is just.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny she brought that up now. I'm back on the potato salad because it's hot out.
Yeah, I want some. I still haven't had any, and I'm yearning.
I gave some to my mother, right? I took it over to her house, and then I went to see her a few hours later, and it was gone. I filled up a container. I said, Mom, she said, it's in the sink. I said, but you ate the whole thing. She said, yep. I said, okay. You know, but look, that mashed, you know, a good potato salad is hard to beat because if you're in a hurry, 2 tablespoons, you'll be okay. You'll make it to your next whatever you have to do. You know what I mean? It's something in your stomach. Plus, it's good for you. Oh, so much good food.
I know. I know. By the way, I got some thank yous to send out. Thanks going out to Jimmy in the Great Northwest. And thanks going out to Texas Tea. Thank you both very kindly. We're down to just $105 to finish the evening, which is awesome. That's amazing. Thanks,
dude.
Y'all. Thanks so much to Henry and Jeremy and Jimmy and Texas Tea. Thank you very much indeed. Had a note from Lou. So far in 2020, from the New York Times, so far in 2020, drug deaths have risen an average of 13% over last year, according to data collected by the Times that covers approximately 40% of the U.S. population. If this trend continues for the rest of the year, it'll be the sharpest increase in annual drug deaths since 2016, when fentanyl first made significant inroads in the country's illicit drug supply. And that probably is related to the Rona. People just trying to get away from the stress of it.
Of course.
And of course we know, and you know, this is a good time to remind people that, you know, for all I clown around and joke about it, alcohol is a drug too. And one of the things we found out is that as quick as those maggot states said, come on in, the bar's open. Well, It started spreading like wildfire. But this being prayer meeting Wednesday, as I mentioned yesterday, our governor here can talk about closing the bars,
but he dare not mention reclosing the churches. And I think it's a pretty neck and neck race, Todd, as to who's spreading it more. And lo and behold, another thing I caught just before airtime, it turns out that individual that I mentioned last night who said that Alabama's spread was based on Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, son of a gun.
Oh, I heard that. Mm-hmm.
I saw the alert come through just before airtime. Where is it here?
I like Mobile, the Mobile area, by the way.
I do too.
It's just special. Oh, it's different.
There it is. No, that's llamas. let's see. Most air conditioning systems don't protect against the Rona. In some cases, they facilitate the spread. Kind of suspected that.
Duh.
Well, doggone it.
What's the keyword?
What it boils down to is that somebody out there is saying that people from up north vacationing to down south, especially during the Memorial Day weekend, may have exacerbated the spread.
Yeah, it's probably the other way around.
Oh, and of course, the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and the shrieks of "Nyan-nyan, can't make me," resounded all over the country today, Todd, because I guess you saw that Walmart has said if governments won't make masking mandatory, by God, Walmart will.
Right. I saw that. It is time.
So, you know, I don't know if the maggots are out there burning their, what do you do? You burn your old Roy dog food or something? That's, you know, they usually try to destroy something when something happens that they don't like, these giant babies.
Well, that's, I heard you and Scott talking last night, and that's kind of what it is part of it. You know, the truth hurts, and most people don't like to hear bad news. But it's not bad news. It's just like, this is what it is. We have to just accept what is and deal with it. We wouldn't be around if we were not highly adaptable.
Yeah, but what we're doing now is trying to adapt.
Well, we are. It's like we know, put the mask on, social distance, and we can kind of keep everybody from getting this thing at one time. But this whole false knowledge, politics, slurry of shit, that's not helping. And folks, these people need to understand, it's not about hating Trump, even though we hate him, because he's, for obvious reasons. But it's not even about that. But it's just so sad. The confluence of everything that's going on now, it's just, we're very, very strange. This is a strange, strange time. Because the school, I'm just scared to death, man. These people are. See, if we were a little more socialist, we would have small communities where there would be a certified neighborhood, like daycare center, on a sliding scale where people could take their kids. But there's going to be, for public schools, there's going to be a segment of the population that, you know, parents can work from home and they have somebody at home and they won't have to, they're not going to send their kids back to school. A lot of people are not going to send their kids back to school. And that's okay. That's great. Because some people have to send their kids to school because they have no child care. Let's be honest. It's about economics and daycare.
Well, and, you know, we're learning the hard way a really long list of shit that we have neglected for far too long. Like universal pre-K, access to child care for working families.
Well, see, I think that's why I'm starting to feel a little optimistic. I really am, because you brought up two good issues. Now, in my little area right here, we have the place where I go, which is a community health center, and because I go there because I have to, you know, and I know how to read, I stay abreast of the legislation and the funding and how to, you know, I know when to sign a petition and, you know, to make sure these folks get funded. Our particular, the ward I go to, they're excellent. We have one of the best epidemiologists in the country who has started our community health center, and he has one here and in two other counties close to here. And he's Nigerian. Not that it matters, but it does, because he doesn't have admitting privileges at our little hospital. And I don't know why that is, even though he's one of the top epidemiologists in the country. But do you know he took it upon himself to start? He started the free COVID testing here. Because before that, you had to pay. And now when things started to spike up again, he started it again. Now everyone in this county can drive. You can get your COVID. I don't know how accurate it is. I don't know. They don't really want to tell you. You know, but you know, we're dealing with a population around here that is, you know, not that literate anyway. So maybe it doesn't matter to them. But it's just, you know, I'm just saying there are good people out here doing good things, and I think, like you said, it's magnifying. And see, it's magnifying. I mean, obviously our roads and bridges are messed up. But you see, now we understand everyone needs high-speed broadband. That is an infrastructure problem. That's something that can be done. That can be done. We need this, because this is not going to be the first time.
Oh, no. No, no. And it's interesting. You mentioned your doctor. Have you followed just exactly what kind of vile shit Tucker Carlson's head writer was writing?
Yeah.
And so you know why your mention of your doctor kind of flipped that switch in my head.
Yes. And of course, our president, you know, he follows that guy. You know, so I'm not convinced. I don't know. I'm not convinced about this coming election for a lot of reasons. I don't trust Pompeo. Bill Barr is not trustworthy. They've already got a state of emergency on. So really, at the stroke of a pen, you know, the administration could say, well, you know, none of this stuff is valid because of all the discord. And see, they're going to use our own argument against us. They're going to say, well, this is like a one in 100 year event so far for human beings in the United States. And, you know, therefore, we're, you know, and then it's going to have to get. I don't know. I hope it works out better than that. But what do you think?
I saw where they, you know, they passed through the first phase of trials with this vaccine at Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to start with a trial group of 35,000. You know, the first group was just to find out that, you know, that they weren't killing anybody with the vaccine. And they had one person who had to drop out as a result of hiving. Now they're actually going to test to see whether it actually, you know, provides immunity, which is another kettle of fish entirely. And I'm sorry. I want to be clear. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. God knows I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I despise anti-vaxxers. But I do not trust anything that anybody does in conjunction with this godforsaken administration, Todd.
You know why that is, don't you? Because you're a thinker.
Oh, I thought maybe it was because I was a commie or something.
No, because you see how far down we are? Right.
Yeah.
What does he think?
It's like Lou just said. All that money pissed away these past few decades on the military. We could have had pre-K education, health care for all, and on and on and on. Yeah. But waving the bloody shirt is a good dollar.
Yeah. okay, all right, now, on a little tangent here, let's just look at empirical evidence. Two government programs that actually put more money and more benefit into the economy than they take out, SNAP benefits and Head Start.
Bingo.
So, when they don't want to fund that, they kind of give away their hand if this were a poker game. If this was a poker game, they give it away. You know, so we need to keep our friends and relatives who are on the other side, you have to keep beating them over the head with it. Like, this is evidence. This is evidence. Like, you guys want to save money, right? Well, this is the way to do it. Feed the kids now, and you don't have to put them in jail later. Keep them away from lead now, and then you don't have to put them in jail later.
Bingo.
Okay? You know, this oh, boy. So, what were we talking about before? The sports. Yeah, you know, I don't see how that's going to work. Then they open at the ballpark here, our minor league team. They're going to be open, I don't know, a few days. They're going to be having games. So, I don't know what their plan is, but, you know, for some reason, South Carolina suffers from hurricanes.
Curiously enough, yes.
Sorry. So what are these people think is going to happen when you have all these displaced and injured and dead and dying people and the ICU capabilities are nil, and that's that?
Good question.
Okay. I'm just curious, as they say. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. Oh boy. It's a big mess. So we're just
I know.
And anyway, I hope you have a good evening and congratulations again. And I guess we'll talk soon.
Well, you know, by the way, Ron wrote in a little bit ago, and while we were in the depths of food porn, Ron wrote in and said, gotta find it. Oh, yeah, breakfast this morning. I made a mushroom Vidalia onion sharp cheddar and ham omelet. That ain't shabby. That was going to be good eats. Oh, especially with some buttered sourdough toast. Yeah. Without a doubt. Oh, and the Goya thing before you go?
Yeah.
Yeah, Princess Ivanka. Princess Iwanka, my daddy Trump Kushner. She tweeted out a photo of herself holding up a can of Goya black beans, I think it was. Like she was in her first week of spokesmodel school.
Oh, Jesus.
And of course that's illegal as hell. But law means something next to nothing. To this bunch. I mean, they even, you had Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who, of course, retired from the Army the other day. Well, yeah. now we know that the White House went around trying to dig up dirt on him and then used it to send to the Pentagon to some lickspittle brass to undermine his promotion to full bird colonel.
I'm going to go, but I have a question, and I don't know if it's rhetorical or not. Maybe you know the answer, but what is preventing a cadre of junior reporters asking hard questions like, "Well, Mr. President, when did you or have you stopped making some of your products in China?" Because as of such and such a date, which is not hard to find, you know, you were still making ties or, you know, glass, whatever, in China.
Because I understand the sense of futility that probably does obtain in the rarefied atmosphere, the thin oxygen of the White House press corps.
because you ask the question, and he doesn't answer it. He just says, well, that's a nasty question. I hate you. And so you might as well ask the question into the howling gale force winds. Best I can come up with.
I'm trying to figure out now what is it going to take for these followers to understand that the president has multiple mental health issues.
Well, and when you think about who's having to do the understanding, it doesn't lead to a lot of help. For instance, a story coming out of some random grocery store where a guy was asked to put on a mask. A female employee asked him to put on a a woman asked him to put on a mask. Just a person at the store. And this is what transpired.
Stop touching me! Don't touch me! Get away from me! Get away from me! No, please listen to me.
I'm not touching you.
The hell you're not.
Not the ball. You need to leave right now. Not all the football. My job. Put it on. There you go.
Yeah, asshole puts it on as a chin strap. Meanwhile, the security guard is just standing by, watching. So it's got to roll just a little bit longer. Then he takes it back off.
Let go of my fucking card! No, let go of my fucking card!
He's still throwing a fit. Now he's screaming in her face because she saw him take the mask off. And isn't putting up with his bullshit.
Get out of my fucking car! Get it out of my fucking face! Get the fuck out of my face! Get go of my fucking car! Get the fuck out of here!
You need to back up.
No, you need to back up.
No, I work here. I have every right to be here.
Oh, wait, she does work there.
You need to leave.
Time to go. Time to go.
You need to
outside now.
Thank you.
Outside now. Outside now. Outside, go.
Go. The security dude shows up and says, nuh-uh, time to go. And he argues, but then he meekly backs down.
Fuck that.
And then two more rather largish security guards show up. And he's still running his mouth.
Hey.
I don't know where this was. I'm guessing somewhere in the Southwest or Florida, maybe, because there's a guy with a cowboy hat on in the store. So we got that.
Jesus.
Because Merca.
Excuse me. Doesn't that sound like disorderly conduct?
Sure it is. And if he hadn't have left when he was told to leave, it would have been trespassing. Now let's go to Florida, where Karen is throwing a fit in the Walmart parking lot.
You guys are fucking cult members! Oh, I'm not wearing a mask!
Not a cult member!
Fuck you. Cult member?
Yeah, I'm not a cult member. Central Florida. Yep. Not a cult member! And then, like I said, there was a hissy fit that was thrown at Walmart. Here's a woman whose real name is Karen, who took to Twitter to say, I'm still going to go in without one. You can't make me. Yeah, they can. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Add no masks to that, Karen.
I'm sorry.
I know. Then there's an idiot.
their obedience masks. Not about health. It's about doing what you're told, no matter how stupid. And breathing your own used air makes you stupid. It's a simple fact. And the test is bullshit.
Okay. So that means that surgeon who you're trusting to take your spleen out and sew
you up. Yeah, don't bother wearing a mask, Doc.
Okay. Well, see, I had to say it. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. And before I was kidding. No, all these mugs who don't want to wear a mask and don't believe in science and their nurse and health practitioner buddies, they go to the pop-up mask tent style medical facilities on the campus of a hospital just in case, but they don't get the same treatment that we get because they engage in that type of behavior, then that's what they get. They get the nurses that don't want to wash their hands, they don't want to wear a mask, and all those folks, let them stay outside in the heat. They can have a little air conditioner in the window. We'll give them that. They don't get to go in the regular hospital. This is what you wanted. Isn't this what you wanted, motherfucker? This is what you wanted. Don't argue with us. No. No, we have you on film. This is what you wanted. You're a card-carrying maggot.
Ding.
That way.
Here's one of my favorite tweets about Walmart. You know, this is not the I Love Walmart channel, by the way. But I acknowledge, when people do the right thing, I acknowledge it.
Okay.
Because for a long time, they had a sign up in front of ours that said Walmart strongly encourages the wearing of a mask. Now it's going to be Walmart requires. So here's a fool, a COVID idiot, a mask hole, a maggot.
We'll be doing even more shopping online, not wearing a mask, period.
Well, good.
Good.
Stay home, sister.
That's exactly what we want you to do. Oh, God. This is fucking
Dear Walmart, I won't wear a mask unless in a hospital or doctor's office. You are neither. You can shove your requirement. I'm moving my scripts to another pharmacy, and you can go to hell.
And you can get on a ventilator.
You know what? Bob, that individual will never know the joy of the cream cheese and salmon mixture inside of a portobello mushroom cap.
No.
I haven't shopped at Costco since they required harmful face diapers. I'll do the same if Walmart also tries to hold us hostage.
That's their new line, face diapers.
You're kidding me.
And what I was talking about yesterday, Kansas City, Albuquerque, well, here it is in Florida, in a Walmart. Another shopper asked him to wear a mask.
She lives...
Oh, wait a minute. There's an ad. God damn it. Well, I don't have... NBC Miami reported the story. And when the shopper asked him to wear a mask, he reached in the waistband of his pants and pulled a gun on her.
Oh, shit.
That was this past Saturday. Now imagine that. This is a death penalty state. And white dude pulls a gun on somebody who asks him to do the sane and simple thing. And he pulls a gun. Yeah, I know. I mean, how do you... Okay. What do you... Yeah.
I'm just thinking like what, how have we gotten to this point where supposedly normal people, you know, responsible people, because you're supposed to be responsible if you're going to have a permit to carry a gun, if it's that kind of state. If not, you know, some states just let you carry a gun. You said it was Arizona, right?
Florida. Well, Florida. New Mexico, Kansas, and then this story is out of Florida.
Well, you need a permit in Florida. Yeah. So, you know, that's not a responsible person. Then the sheriff of where he lives, they need to review his concealed carry permit.
I bet you he doesn't have one. And I bet you, and how many county sheriffs in Florida have the nerve to how many district attorneys in Florida have the nerve to prosecute a white guy concealed carrying without a permit?
Well, ask Marissa Alexander.
Oh, I know.
And I won't get into details, and if somebody wants to, they can dig that up. Because, you know, this is why I'm not upset anymore. I'm really not. I'm just, you know, I'm resigned to the fact that this country's going through growing pains, and it's just, you know, people feel hurt for, you know, but everything's relative, you know. Pain is, people's pain, you know, is real. Their pain is based in their displacement from what they thought, where they thought they stood in society, and that's too bad.
Well, one woman's troubles are all over, Todd.
Who?
Her name is Rachel Dawn Ruitt, R-U-I-T. She was from North Carolina. Was.
She done got ruined.
Okay. On July the 4th, she assaulted members of a Black Lives Matter march, tore the hijab off of a Muslim woman's head, and grabbed a teenage girl by the crotch and said she needed to be put down.
Jesus.
And was alleged to have threatened to rape the teenager. Well, like I said, her problems are over. Because she literally stepped off the sidewalk into the path of a speeding fire truck. Flat as a pancake. The Asheville, North Carolina Fire Department truck ran her over. Yeah, maybe, you know, it's
when was this?
This was in the last day or so.
Okay.
The incident with the woman in the hijab was July 4th.
Okay. All right. That's related, because on public radio, they were talking about reparations in Asheville today. So the city's making official reparations to the Negro community in Asheville for past transgressions. And, you know, when you build a house on shifty soil, you know, you can't complain when it falls apart. I hate to go there, you know, stupid now, but I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, she was probably standing on that street corner, mumbling to herself about the Muslims and the blacks, and wasn't paying attention. And I mean, I'm speculating,
right?
But
I think that's right. She was blinded by the hate. You know, blinded by the hate, man. It's so sad. It's unnecessary. And hey, you know what? I don't know if you do this. It'd be nice to hear folks who listen and have never. I don't. Money's hard to come by for most folks. Let's just face it. But it'd be nice to hear from. I don't know if you do new contributors.
Yeah, we've had a few new folks kicking in, and that's always inspiring. Because, you know, people fall off, people come in, and, you know, it's all just a matter of trying to keep this all going.
That's it. Well, you keep on keeping on, because you're doing a great job. And
I appreciate it, Todd.
And you got Ron and Raleigh.
I'm
telling you, Brother Deacon Asa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Deacon Asa.
No, I was just saying. I said it before, and I'll say it again. And he's professional. And you come on this program and talk to Yang, and you don't have any facts. Forget about it.
And he's also turning into a hell of a pizza chef.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and I should let you know, Cynthia went digging around and found a YouTube video for the mashed potato and cheese stuffed chilies.
Oh, what kind of chili?
I haven't watched it yet. It's a video, so I'll have to find out. I have a feeling this is going to be something really special.
This program always makes me hungry.
Yeah, I know. I know. It does the same thing to me. Fortunately, I've got a few potatoes that I baked in the acorn yesterday, and I'll just I'll unwrap one of those and put it in a bowl and nuke it and hit it with the butter and the sour cream and be a happy boy.
There we go. Well, thanks for everything. Everyone thanks you, and I'll talk to you. We'll see each other soon.
You know, hang in there, Todd.
I'm trying. I'll have some good news for you next time.
All right. Sounds good. Todd, take care of yourself, my friend.
All right.
Hey, be careful down there. Crazy people. Mean people. Selfish people. Be careful. Later, man. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Our buddy Dave, number 11, finds some really interesting stuff. Here's a dude on Twitter. Science, spelled backwards, is Ecnix. And Ecnix was a device used by hashtag pagans to summon Satan? Capital S-A-T-I-N, Satan himself, to brainwash children and turn them into literal sheep. These pagans were called Scientasts. Today's scientists use Ecnix, science, to brainwash R kids, A-R-E, kids. Hashtag MAGA, hashtag Flat Earth. Please, that's got to be a joke. That's got to be a parody. And as the original person retweeting it said, Hail Satan! Mm-hmm. All shiny. Ay, ay, ay. Hopefully, we'll use our big primate brains on our side and come out the other end still alive. As to the lady in Asheville getting run over by the fire truck, Lee in New York says, I'm sure she would not look both ways before crossing the street because... ... Say it with me. Feed 'em! See, those walk and don't walk signals, they don't work, so I don't know why we bother to have them, because she got runned over. James in Illinois says, they need to rename that fire truck Karma. And a gun-toting maggot update, Jeremy in Vermont says, they're now claiming if you wear a face mask, it makes open carry illegal. Fuck. Oh, that's not a there now. That's a been doing it for a little bit, because when Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice announced the mask mandate that isn't really a mandate here in West Virginia, because it's got no teeth and no enforcement, he said, and make no mistake, in no way, shape, form, or fashion does this mask requirement have any impact on your right to carry a concealed firearm. We made sure of that in the regulation. So you can keep carrying your concealed weapon even though you're wearing a mask. Because that's what you got to worry about. Because, you know, you'd hate to be out there wearing your mask in the Wally world and going the wrong way down the aisle, and suddenly you see a whole bunch of Rona just standing there getting ready to loot the place and not be able to pull your freedom protector and blow away the Roner. I think I'm going to offer or start a petition drive or something here in this state. We're going to change the Latin motto of West Virginia. No longer is it going to be Montani Semper Liberi, mountaineers are always free. No, I think in the modern pandemic era, the new motto should be Montani Semper Dumbass, or Montani Semper Idiot. Well, sir, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come with me. Obviously, you
you had a concealed weapon and you're wearing a mask, you're under arrest for carrying a concealed weapon while wearing a mask. Which, curiously, is not a statute in the criminal code of the state of West Virginia. Really. Lee in New York pointing out, obligatory music reference, name the fire truck Instant Karma. I believe John Lennon's lyric, and Lee is right, is Instant Karma's gonna get ya. Oh, yes. And Ron with a question. You remember North Carolina Senator Thom Tillis thought that hand washing by restaurant workers should be optional. Yep, he did. Because him genius. And if you happen to be a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Florida, and we have several, please take note, the former data scientist for the state of Florida, who was in charge of COVID-19, who was canned because she refused to monkey up the state coronavirus data, monkey up being the term that Ron Monkey Up DeClantis uses. Well, she has come forward and declared that as bad as the numbers are, the Florida outbreak, she says, is much worse than Ron Monkey Up DeClantis is admitting. Rebecca Jones did an interview with Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC and said that the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration only started releasing hospitalization data at the county level last week, and that it is at odds with the State Department of Health's data. And this is how they hope to get around it. They hope to make it to November on dummied up numbers and hidden dead. But the one group you can't hide the dead from are their families. Rebecca Jones said, taking the number of people hospitalized today versus the number reported yesterday doesn't tell you how many more people were hospitalized in the last day. It tells you how many reports of hospitalizations DOH received, which could include hospitalizations from cases back in March. The same is true of death data as well. And there's also a lack of released testing and case numbers in Florida's jails and state prisons. And Florida quit releasing, publishing testing demographic data after they shit-canned her in May. We have no idea if recent surges in cases by age, gender, race, or ethnicity are truly spikes, or if they're proportional to the number of people being tested within those demographic groups. As of this past Monday, Florida had recorded nearly 270,000 total cases and more than 4,300 dead. Florida standing alone would rank 9th worldwide in cases. And all those massive increases, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis referred to as a blip. Just a blip. It's just a blip. And I think Jeremy speaks for us all when he says, hopefully hospitals and such will disregard the president's orders and continue to let the Centers for Disease Control know. And that's all we got, is hope.
which is sadly a thin reed. And so we've come to the end of the program. Thanks to Henry and Jeremy. Thanks to Jimmy and Texas T for jumping in on fundraising this evening. We will close the program at $105 to go and be back here for Thorn in the Side Thursday. It should be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'll fill a bobster the first hour. And then our dear friend Dan Fisher will join us. And he's got a list of stuff he wants to talk about, and it looks like a pretty good list to me. So I hope you'll be around for that. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air with your kind contributions and your subscriptions and your a la carte, PayPal, Patreon, however, Venmo, United States Postal Service to the mailbox. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, if you shop with Amazon, please use smile.amazon.com and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch as the beneficiary of some of the proceeds of your sale. It doesn't change your price at all. But some of the sale proceeds go as a charitable contribution to Coal River Mountain Watch. But you have to choose them from the list. For a grassroots organization like Coal River Mountain Watch, it's a really big deal. Oh, I didn't realize that. In the chat room, a note from Natural. I posted a similar incident around a mask in Canada. It became a fatal incident after he smashed through the storefront. The disease spreads. Not just the Rona. The stupid. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. As this thing continues to blaze across the country, please stay home if you can. If you have to go out, please wear your mask. Please don't touch your face. Please wear your gloves. Use hand sanitizers. Wash your hands. Maintain your social distance. Avoid COVIDiot mask holes, people burbling about face diapers or any of that other swill like the plague. Because they are. Oh, my God. Asa, you can't do that to me. Somebody took the picture of Ivanka, precious. I wanka my daddy, Trump Kushner. And they replaced the can of Goya beans with a giant black dildo. Somehow, it works. Oh, God. Later, y'all.